Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for another one of our regular feed shows. It's Friday, so we have Ricky joining me. She's talking about just getting back from visiting Disney Springs, and she also visited City Walk over at Universal, so we get her thoughts on what it's like for the arrival procedures, where they take your temperature and go through security, bag checks, and so forth. And the overall vibe at both City Walk and Disney Springs. What are the crowds like? What are the procedures like? What are the markings like? How can you get rest from your mask? Who's wearing masks? Who's not? All that stuff is headed your way on today's show. We also open up the phone lines as well. Don't forget, you can support the Be Our Guest podcast three ways. The most important way is to book your next trip with the great folks over at The Magic for Less Travel. They are a platinum earmarked agency, which means you are getting the best of the best when it comes to Disney travel agents. Their services are absolutely free to you as well. So when it comes time for your next trip, drop by themagicforless.com. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. And you and I are going to be working together planning a great Disney adventure. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and every purchase helps support the show. So please bookmark it and use it often. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Finally, you can become a patron of the show and support us that way. Just visit patreon.com/brguestpodcast. We have exclusive content over there outside of the normal podcast feeds and all the information we have here on the normal show. You're not missing anything, but we do AMAs. We put up old pictures from the show. We do polls. We just have a good time, even a little mini podcast called Mike in the Midwest over there. So if you are interested in a little extra content during these times where travel is slow, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1699 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the very senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. I hope that you have had a great week, and we had a little Disney news come out this week, a lot, you know, depending on how you rate things, but of course, it keeps you on your toes. And as Disney fans, that's all we can ask for, is something to talk about on social media when it comes to our planned Disney trips and our upcoming Disney trips, and unfortunately sometimes our canceled Disney trips. But remember, you're going to get back. You know, it might not be in July, it might not be this summer, it might not even be in 2020, but you're going to get back, so hang in there. Keep enjoying, you know, being a Disney fan, and it's just going to make that next trip better, even though it's going to be different. It'll still be something that you're going to embrace, and I think you're going to have a great time no matter when you get back. Sooner or later, we're all going to have a great time that next time we're back. It's going to be different, though, and that's what we're talking about today. So joining me today, freshly returned from Central Florida, Universal Studios and Disney Springs, and a couple of other things to talk about. Of course, we have Ricky from TouringPlans.com and TheMouseForLess.com. What's up, Ricky?
It's good to be back. I'm happy to have been able to head down to the Orlando Way. So it was just nice to be back, you know, and at home, I guess I should say. You know, it sounds really sad, but I haven't been at Disney in, you know, 4 months, and I was itching, which I know is like the worst. You know, like everybody's wanting to punch me right now for saying, oh my gosh, it's only been 4 months, but...
I know it's,
but, you know, a lot of people go a lot longer than that, but for me, that's a really long time. So
I was there for, obviously, for Princess was my last time, so late February. Yeah. So a few weeks before this all kind of started really going down. And
same.
I'm the same way. Like, I look at airplanes now, and there's not as many of them in the sky, but you know, we're seeing more and more of them here in St. Louis. And you know, Southwest is the main carrier out of our airport, and I see them and I'm like, oh, there's just, I was telling Pam this on our walk the other day, that you know, it's one of those things that, especially for summer, this time of year is when we go on our long family vacation. No races, mm-hmm. just fun. And I'm missing that. You know, I'm missing the, like, you know, going to the store and picking out, you know, a pair of new sneakers, you know, for vacation, or, you know, a couple of pairs of shorts and packing and going to the airport. All that excitement that surrounds a Disney vacation, we don't have that right now. It's really kind of disappointing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I totally get it. I always look forward to your family vacations at Walt Disney World because it's so fun to live vicariously through you. And I mean, I know our listeners always love that as well because, you know, we get such great feedback when you're down there. But, you know, it, with the way things are, it's absolutely understandable that you're not going to be able to head down there this year. And so, but you've got other plans and you've got good plans. So that's good.
I've been informed too. We're not going to the lake. We're going to Branson.
Oh, you're going to Branson.
Well, it's kind of by the lake, but more Branson-ish.
That's totally different. Yes. I mean, absolutely different. So enjoy Branson because that's definitely a different experience. I do like, there are a lot of things that I like in Branson. I'm just not entirely sure what will be open when you're there. Like, you probably won't be going to Silver Dollar City, even though that's, you know, there in Branson. And you probably won't be
it's
going
open
to, you know.
Now. It's open, though. We're going to be down there.
Maybe, maybe you will go.
Maybe.
It's a lot of fun. And then you probably won't be going to like the shows and, you know, seeing like Pam Tillis or anything like that.
What?
So,
That'd be awesome.
You'll still have a good time.
I've been talking to Matt Parrish, he's steering me the right direction. Matt's got me hooked up.
Yes.
So we'll figure it out.
There you go.
So let's jump in here because I was following along. A lot of us were following along on social media. And I'll be honest with you right off the top of the show. You know, I've seen a lot of people posting stuff from Disney Springs, and you were down there, you know, right pretty much as Universal reopened to guests, you know, about a week, you know, it had been open. And I've been watching social media, seeing the pictures. But to me, like, finally seeing somebody I know on vacation and wearing the mask everywhere and all that, it's different. You know, I'm not saying it's horrible, but I mean, again, I'm in a place where there's not a lot of people wearing masks around and just seeing people walking around. This is what I thought was going to happen when I go back is that visual of like the picture of you and you know, your brother and his boyfriend and everybody, like the selfie of you guys at Universal, but everybody's got on masks. It's just like, what world are we living in? You know, because it was, I know you guys, and it was just, you know, it was just like weird. This is a crazy Christmas card. What is this? I don't know. So, talk to us about like, I mean, you went down to visit your parents who just moved to the Villages, but walk us through the weekend.
Yeah, so I had basically one day to spend at Disney and Universal. We needed to go to Universal to City Walk to get something for me, and so that's where we ended up going first. Since I knew that their City Walk was closing early, so we went there first. And so, you know, this was really my first experience seeing the whole, how the theme parks are going with this. So, I mean, yeah, I've seen it online, of course, but it is very different when you're living it. So that part was very surreal, you know, to make sure like I had my masks, which I had. And you know, I know that let's start with the big elephant in the room. I know a lot of people are asking like, how is it being there in a mask? Personally, I did not have a very difficult time being in a mask. Now, I was testing a mask that one of our listeners, Holly, has made. She wanted me to test it while I was down there because she's going down in about a week. And so she's like, hey, can you test this? She literally dropped it off at my house. And she's like, hey, can you test this? Because I want to see how this works. So it was a very lightweight mask, which was really nice. That's kind of a big tip if you're looking for something to use while you're down there. You know, a lighter weight mask is probably going to be key. Obviously, a heavier mask is going to be a little more difficult to manage. But this was fine. There were a couple of times where I got bothered by wearing the mask. But for the most part, I was distracted enough that the mask didn't bother me. Does that make sense? Like I didn't really think about it a lot because I was doing things. So that part was nice. You know, it wasn't that constant reminder of I'm wearing a mask, I'm wearing a mask, I'm wearing a mask. So, and that was throughout the whole entire time, both at City Walk as well as Disney Springs. I didn't really notice it too terribly much. So that was kind of nice. At City Walk, I definitely saw a lot of like social distancing markers all over. I feel like they, in a weird way, did a little bit better as far as making sure that people were spaced out as you were walking in. They had social distancing markers that were placed, you know, throughout the walkway. They did the temperature check, which was super easy, super convenient. And you know, throughout the city walk overall, like they had places for people to social distance. They also have at City Walk what's called their U rest areas, which are areas where
I saw a picture that you posted of that. Yeah, the little holding things.
Yes. So they were basically areas that were sectioned off, and they were areas where you could, if you were hot or whatever, you could take off your mask. They had tables and chairs and I think umbrellas where, you know, you could just sit and relax a little bit and not have to worry about wearing your mask in those locations. I think they had them in the park as well at Universal, but I didn't get to go into the park that day because Brian didn't have a ticket. So we just hung out in City Walk. But those were really nice. I did see, like, if the area, I don't know how long you could stay in the area, like if they gave you a time limit, because there wasn't a lot of people there at that time. There was no line or anything like that to get into the U-Rest areas, but they did have it's set up so that if you needed to get in line, you could get in line. But anywhere where there was a line, like they had stand here markers every 6 feet so that you knew, like, this is where you stand, don't go any further until the next person moves up, which worked out just fine. I saw lots of people cleaning the photo opportunities that they had at City Walk. I definitely saw cleaning going on. You know, they had entertainment, which was nice. Disney Springs didn't have any entertainment going on, but at City Walk, they had a DJ who was playing and people were socially distancing, dancing. That was the most bizarre thing.
No dirty dancing. This is not the time for dirty dancing.
Socially distanced dancing. There were still walkers out. So, you know, they were there if you wanted to take a selfie. That way you could still get a selfie with the still walkers, and they were wearing masks as well. I know that there were a number of dining establishments that were open. However, in City Walk, not as many dining establishments are open as there were in Disney Springs. So that was definitely something that I noticed. There were far fewer dining establishments open. Voodoo Donuts, though, was open, and we did get donuts. Oh, and God, they were delicious.
Those are so good. When we were down for our training, Voodoo delivered, I think, like 7 or 8 dozen to our training. I was like,
They're so good.
They're so good. They're probably 7,000 calories a donut. They're ridiculous.
Exactly. I got a donut that had Oreo, and it was chocolate icing, I think, on top, Oreo, and then a peanut butter drizzle on it. Yeah. Oh, it was to die for. So, yeah, so, so good. So that's really my experience at Universal. Like I said, I didn't do a whole lot there. We were really there just picking something up, but as well as picking up donuts. But that's kind of like, I just wanted to see how they were doing at Universal. And see how City Walk was going and stuff like that to kind of get a feel of the overall nature of what Universal was kind of doing. Okay. So any questions about Universal?
Let me give you two questions on Universal that I'm getting from my guests and from our listeners. Mostly. Okay. So first of all, quickly walk us through like the arrival, the parking, the approaching City Walk, and in, you know, once you're in, but I mean, is there like, what's the arrival process like for Universal specifically?
So at Universal, you know, they were just kind of waving people down rows to go park. We didn't get there at like park opening, so I didn't get to experience that. But we just found a spot and there was nobody around us. So we just parked and, you know, went straight in. I do know that when it's morning, they will socially distance cars to avoid, you know, people being right next to each other. So that's kind of nice. As far as the walking in process works, I mean, again, they had socially distanced markers on the ground. So if there was a backup, you knew like where to go, where to stand. Like I said, as we walked up, they took my temperature. They had the gun temperature thing to just check my head. Again, there were socially distanced markers on the ground to make sure that nobody, you know, was getting too ahead of themselves. As far as the bag check, because they have the bag check outside of City Walk there. Again, they told you which line to go into, so you didn't pick a line or anything like that like they were before. Socially distanced markers there as well, so that way you weren't on top of the other people. And then you just put your bag in. And again, it's so easy at Universal. You know, nobody's touching your bags. You just put your bag in. They have an X-ray scanner. It goes through the X-ray scanner just like it would at the airport. And then you go ahead and you grab your bag after that's all said and done. I've always said Universal did a much better job. That will be until I think what Disney's going to do. I can't wait to ask you
about
that. Yeah,
because I'm a tech guy, and I'm really curious about the Disney Springs thing. But let me ask you one last thing, because I want to hop over there, because I want to get to this. But did you see anybody get approached by a team member at Universal at City Walk asking somebody, you know, hey, you don't have your mask on? Or what was there any kind of enforcement that you saw? Or was there anybody breaking the rules? I mean, what's the general sentiment as to the atmosphere and how serious they are about enforcing these expectations?
You know, I really didn't see a lot of people at Universal not wearing masks. For the most part, I absolutely saw most people had their masks on. They had them on properly. Nobody, because everybody was wearing the mask, I didn't see any team members or anything like that telling people, hey, you need to put your mask on. Everybody really seemed pretty conscientious, I guess, just to say, of, you know, wearing their mask and making sure that everything was covered. I did see signs everywhere indicating, they had, you know, the A-frame signs, and they literally were everywhere indicating, hey, you know, social distance, here are the tips to keep safe. You know, this way is restrooms, you can go wash your hands, things like that. I thought in a way there was more signage overall at Universal than I saw at Disney Springs, actually, to be perfectly honest. At Disney Springs, they had signs up, but I felt like they were way more prevalent at City Walk. So,
interesting. All right, so let's go over to Disney Springs, and I think this is what our listeners have more...
Just
general knowledge of what it looks like pre-COVID. And so now you're there upon the return. So walk us through, again, approach, going through the screening, getting into Disney Springs. Because, I mean, you know, before all this happened, you just, boom, you're there. You know, you get on a boat, you arrive on a boat, you arrive in a car, a bus, whatever, you're there and no problem. It's a lot different now. So walk us through that.
So at Disney Springs, there weren't any, you know, cast members indicating where to park. You just kind of found where to go. And that's how it usually was at Disney Springs anyway. Universal is obviously different because that's where everybody parks, whether you're going to City Walk or whether you're going to the parks. So they have, you know, team members there to actually park you. Disney Springs, they kind of funneled you into a certain way to go, and then everybody went that way to get their temperature scanned. The temperature scanning, again, worked the same way as it did at Universal. They had, you know, I think socially distanced line markers on the ground if there was a backup, and then you could go, you know, get your temperature scanned. There was nobody there when I was there, so, like, we just walked straight up and had our temperature scanned. Now here's the unique part that I got to experience. So everybody knows that I obviously know a lot about Disney and I know everything in the news. And so imagine my surprise when I get to Disney Springs and there's this contraption set up and they're telling us to walk through it. And clearly it is a scanner, you know, not a weapon scanner, but, you know, like a metal detector. Yeah. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. I'm like, what's the name of the scanner? A metal detector. It was clearly a very fancy metal detector that they had set up. And so we walked through it and everybody knows, like, there are no metal detectors at Disney Springs. So I was like, what's this? Yeah. It took me off guard for a second, you know? And then, the cast member indicated to me, they pointed to me and they're like, ma'am, can you come over here? So I was like, okay. So I walked over to the cast member and they were like, can you dump out the contents of your bag into the bin? And so we can see the bottom. And so I was like, okay.
Was this your purse? Like with all like your purse stuff? Okay.
Correct. Okay. Yes. This was my bag. Yeah. I carry a drawstring bag with me when I'm at Disney. So they were like, can you dump out the contents of your bag? And so I was like, okay. So I dumped them out. I kept a few things in there, but, you know, just to see, you know, what was going on. And so they opened my bag. Then at that point they looked inside, and then they wanded me my front and back, and then they handed me back my bag and they said, okay, you're good. You can put everything back into your bag. And so I was like, okay. So, like, again, like, all of this was very, it took me a lot off guard because, again, I was not expecting it. I'm so used to Disney. I know everything. Like, this was not something that I was expecting. So, you know, then as I thought about it more and more, I was like, oh, this is what they're planning to probably do when the parks open. And I think it's genius because it allows guests to be scanned to make sure they don't have weapons on them. They don't have anything that they're not supposed to have. Easily, you know, that bag check area is a disaster when you walk in at, you know, the parks. I mean, you have people lined up. They're back to back to back to back, especially when, like, multiple buses get dropped off. With this scanner, it allows guests to just walk through, keep moving. They don't have to stop. They just keep on going unless the scanner picks up on something and says, oh, hey, this person has something that they need checked out. So at that point, then they can pull somebody aside like they did with me. And I think that they might have been doing it just a spot check because I didn't have anything in my bag.
They kind of also have to certify it. I mean, even if you're not looking for something, you say, okay, well, I expect it showed me this. I should expect to find this in the bag, you know, kind of.
Exactly. Yeah. So they wanted to just probably spot check that. I did have an umbrella, so that might have been what they were, you know, spot checking for or something like that. So anyway, the process to get into the park, if they utilize this, and I suspect that that's what they're going to be doing, is going to be way easier. Plus, it means that security cast members are not going to be digging in your bags and then digging in the next person's bag and then digging in the next person. You know, like all that COVID stuff, everybody's worried about touching, you know, everybody else's stuff. And then the security cast member, you know, what, they don't have to put on different pair of gloves for every single part, you know, so it's just a way, way easier process, I think, moving forward. And I applaud Disney. I think this is a much better idea than what Universal's doing. And, you know, Universal, I think what they do is great. So this is even a step up towards that. And honestly, like, I think this is absolutely the route that Disney should go. I also think that they should continue doing this at Disney Springs. I have felt that they should be checking guests at Disney Springs for a long time, especially when you learned that, you know, Pulse was actually potentially supposed to happen at Disney Springs, but because they saw, you know, so much security, they didn't do it there. But I mean, if there was a metal detector there, it would have just caused even more security there. Yeah. So I would like to see this be continued at Disney Springs as well. So overall, like, that process was very unique, and I think it will be a much better process moving forward with Disney. I don't know why they didn't do this originally when they started with the new, you know, the new entryways and into the park in general. Like, I don't know why they didn't do this before. If you want to see what this process looks like, I did write an article for Touring Plans. I have a video in that article that shows you the system that I walked through, or at least I think is the system that I walked through. It looked very, very, very similar. So that's why I thought, okay, this is the same exact system. And it showed you how it worked as well. So, again, if you want to kind of see how the whole thing works, that's kind of where you can go to find out.
Real quick, and we'll get into Disney Springs itself. But
it was just a really interesting experience.
When we have something new, this is exactly why we're doing this. Is there any, because I saw rumors, and is there any, for, I mean, you don't know, but I mean, do you think that possibly this had a thermal imaging kind of thing where it could take your temperature at the same time?
So when I looked up the company, I didn't see it mention anything about thermal imaging and taking temperatures. Now, I could have missed that part about it. I know I saw other articles saying that it was taking temperatures, and I don't know that if it was or wasn't.
If it did all three of those things, I mean, you're talking, that is like the golden ticket right there.
It is, and it very well could have been. I just didn't see it in the like description of the video that I watched, so I can't personally say whether or not it was taking a temperature or not. Like, I don't want to falsify that information, and I know other places were reporting it, but that's not, you know, I don't want to report something that may or may not be true if I'm not 100% positive. So, and I'm not. So, yeah.
All right. So, goodbye. Besides the cool cupcake or shake or whatever you had, that was awesome.
It was a shake.
That thing was just wicked. Okay. So, walking around Disney Springs, what's the vibe? I mean, busy, not busy? What were people like? Just tell us what it was like compared to a typical day at Disney Springs.
Obviously, it wasn't as busy as, you know, it normally is. I mean, I've been there when it is absolutely packed to the gills. But it was a little busier than City Walk was. It was you know, it all depends on what you feel comfortable with. There were definitely crowds at Disney Spring. I'm not going to lie to you. There were absolutely crowds there. In order to get into shops, once the shop is full of the number of people that they're maxing out, they do have spaces for guests to socially distance outside of the shop. You know, so that's something to kind of keep in mind. As far as walking around, you know, I didn't feel unsafe. I felt like everything was fine. Again, most people were wearing masks. When I saw people not wearing masks, a lot of the time was when they were coming off the escalators from the garages. And at that point, there were cast members who were there who were telling people, hey, you need to put your mask on. So I did see that happening a couple of times when I was standing there waiting. As far as, you know, walking around Disney Springs or things like that, you know, I did see, you know, some people were wearing masks incorrectly, but again, you know, I'm not going to be the mask police or anything like that. Yeah. Most people were wearing them correctly again. I know a lot of people are worried about, you know, can you stop and eat and drink? You absolutely can stop, eat, drink, whatever. People may have saw my monstrosity of a shake that I got. I got that from Vivoli El Gelaterio, however you pronounce that place. It was a birthday cake shake, and then it had a birthday cake cupcake on top of it. It was delicious. It was expensive as all get out, and I don't even want to talk about how much that shake was, because that shake was way more money than it was worth.
Okay, so let's play really greater than, less than, $15.
Dollar less.
So. Oh my gosh, I guess for something like that, we're getting like four desserts in one, so I don't know. That's crazy.
But the cupcake, the cupcake was not as big as the cupcakes that you get at Toothsome, and yeah. I think Toothsome's cupcakes or Toothsome shakes are about the same price.
Yeah.
I would have rather had a Toothsome cupcake. I'm not even going to lie. Like, I would have rather gone to Toothsome and got one. So, yeah.
Fair enough.
It is what it is. Yeah. Okay. So, anyway, so you can eat and drink while you're walking around Disney Springs without your mask, you know, on. Just pull it down, take a drink or, you know, eat or whatever, and then put your mask on. As far as like some of the shops, like I went into Goofy's Candy Company, they didn't have like all the treats that they usually have. They only had regular candy apples. They didn't have like the fun character ones. They only had fudge. They didn't have my Mickey Mouse cookie, which I was planning on getting at least two of them, and they didn't have any of those. So like everything, it wasn't the same kind of food that they had overall, but I think Goofy's did just reopen.
Yeah, because it closed there for a couple days. I saw it close for like a few days. Now, did they have that? Because this is what Mallory and Paige both did every time we go to Goofy's. That like self-serve by the pound where you get the scoop and go into all the little bins? I can't imagine that's
so open. I didn't look at that. I honestly was just there for my cookie. Yeah. I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention to that. No, I was like, where's my cookie? It's not here. I'm disappointed. So that was fine. Now we did go eat. I met up with Jay and Melissa, which was fantastic. So I got to see them and the girls and everything like that. And we went to City Works, which is the newest restaurant at Disney Springs. I've eaten there before. I ate there right after it opened, and then we ate there this trip. One of the cool things that they did, well, first, they definitely were socially distancing. So the restaurant was full. They had us, you know, leave a phone number and then come back when the table was ready. They wouldn't let us sit as a table of eight, which I thought was rather interesting as well. I don't know if it's just because they didn't have enough space for that many people at that time, but they wouldn't let us sit together. So we had to split off, but that was okay. We just made my brother and Kurt go sit at a different table.
Beat it. Get out.
Yeah. See you later. So another interesting thing that they did was they handed you a little baggie so you could put your masks in the baggie while you were eating, which I thought was really creative.
That's good,
dude. Okay, I got a pork chop there. It was phenomenal. I very much enjoyed the meal at City Works. Thought it was really good. They did have a pared-down menu. They gave you a paper, you know, menu so you could read off of, but the menu was definitely pared down because I've been there before and it was not all the same food items. So they don't have the same like actual full menu that they normally have. But it was a great dining experience, had a very nice time. it was good catching up with Jay and Melissa. So that was good as well. I mean, Disney Springs is definitely, we did a lap, you know, so Disney Springs is definitely hopping. It's still a great place to go. Oh, another thing I thought was really interesting was the food trucks. So they don't have, like, you could go up to each individual food truck and get food. The food trucks are back, by the way, now, so that's good. My cookie dough truck is back.
Oh, you know what? Tonight in St. Charles, it's food truck at Frontier Park. I'm missing it. It's right now, 5 to 8.
I know.
I was going to go there. We had Texas Roadhouse earlier. I'm okay.
Yes, okay, that's good. So they did have the ability to go get the food trucks, and they had like one station that you stopped off at and placed your order, and then you were able to go to whatever food truck that you wanted. So I thought that was really interesting.
That's a good idea, yeah, like in general. I like that.
That's a good idea in general too. Yeah, exactly. So, and I know Diana's saying the bigger the table, the louder the talking, the more droplets spread, but I think they just didn't have a table big enough for us at that time. Because I did see a party of 8 get seated after we left. So I think they only had a certain number of tables for parties of 8.
But that is true. Yeah. Think about it, when we all get together, Coronado Springs, and have margarita flights. It's loud. I mean, there's a lot of talking. It's very loud. There's probably tons of droplets. I mean, gross.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yes. I never thought about it until now. So yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? But I'm pretty sure there was a table of 8 that ended up getting seated after us. It's just, I think they only had a limited number of tables of 8. And so, you know, at that point. I think that's pretty much it about Disney Springs. We didn't go into World of Disney, but they did have a specific entrance for you to go to and specific exits. So you couldn't just go in and out of there willy-nilly like you could before. I was going to stop at Ghirardelli because I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
It's not going to be packed, right? No, I was completely wrong. That's why I went to Vivoli.
I'll say, I was thinking, did you say that after you had that shake? What is wrong with you? I mean, it's like crazy voodoo donuts,
no,
that
no.
shake, and then you're going to Ghirardelli. I'm like, you are diabetic right now or something, because that's crazy.
I was going to go to Ghirardelli first because I was like, dude, it's always packed. I'm going to go there now when there's not a lot of people. It doesn't, no, I was wrong.
I think there's always people there. Like, I think it, you know, 7:30 in the morning, there's a line, even though the place is open.
I know, right? So, yeah, I didn't go there. But it was a great experience. It's what you're comfortable with, though, because, again, I was perfectly comfortable walking around Disney Springs with people wearing masks. It doesn't freak me out, but it's your comfort level. I mean, look, here in Atlanta, people hardly ever wear masks, plain and simple. I mean, they just don't. I walk into places all the time and they're not wearing masks. I'm wearing one, but you know, a lot of times they're not. So it's what you're comfortable with. It's what you feel okay with. And if you're not okay with passing people wearing masks, I get it. Like, I understand. It makes complete sense. It's your comfort level. And my comfort level is obviously different because I'm going around Atlanta and nobody's wearing masks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just not used to it yet. I mean, I have no issues with it. I mean, I'm wearing a NASA shirt. I believe in science, you know, and I believe it's the right thing. It's just, right. You know, it's still, you know, it's like if all of a sudden everybody started wearing Halloween costumes, like, it would just be weird.
Right.
You know, it's still weird to me. I mean, I don't debate it, you know, but it is. And Jennifer's asking from here in O'Fallon about outdoor seating at Disney Springs. Of course, you'd have Fly Pig. You would have Paradiso's 37, Boathouse.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying, you know, Wolfgang Puck Express, I think, might have a little outdoor seating.
Yeah, I think there are definitely some restaurants that have outdoor seating.
Yeah. Which is preferred.
I think City Works, if they don't have it yet, they're working on it. I know that. So, there are a number of restaurants with outdoor seating. And, I saw STK. That place was packed for once in my life. I was like, who's eating at STK? It was absolutely packed. It was packed because, you know, social distancing. Maybe it looked busy.
Maybe that's the way to sell out the place, is have 25% capacity. I don't know.
Exactly.
Well, so, I mean, I've just never tried it. I've just always wanted to go other places. It could be great. I mean, it could be.
It could be.
I don't know.
I've never been there, but I thought it was really funny. I was like, huh, STK is finally packed. Go figure.
There you go. It took a global pandemic. But anyway, all right, so here's what we're going to do. We're about halfway through the show, so I'm going to open up the phone lines at this point at 407-413-9395. Again, that's 407, our favorite area code. 413-9395. You want to jump in and ask Ricky questions about the weekend down in Central Florida? hey, this is your chance, because she was just there just, you know, mere hours ago. Mm-hmm. She just got back. And, you know, I know a lot of folks are headed down, even pre-park opening. I have guests heading down, you know, in just a week or two. So we're going to get as many questions as we can. So tonight we're giving questions to Ricky. First question for Ricky of the night is from Alfred. Alfred, what's going on, buddy?
How did I know?
Hey, Mike. Hey, Ricky.
Hi, Alfred. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I'm jealous that you got to go.
It was awesome. I mean, it was really good to be back in my happy place. Not going to lie. Like, I definitely felt good putting on the mouse ears again. Like, that was awesome. And just walking around. It was
I have to say, I loved your picture of the stormtrooper at the AMC.
Yes. So that's another, like, a fun Disney thing that they're doing is they have stormtroopers out at the AMC. And I think there's one other place that they are often found at. And they're just patrolling, making sure that everybody is socially distancing, wearing their masks and everything like that. And so it's kind of
that would be so cool to have in the parks, too.
It would be, and I wonder if they will do that.
Everywhere.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll... Well, I'm sure it would just be, you know, probably more in Galaxy's Edge than anything else.
But it would be great everywhere. You know?
It would be fun.
Because it could be a deterrent for people.
Especially if they could set their guns for real.
I'm afraid of those guys.
Well, if they really set their blasters to stun, put some teeth into it. You get caught with your mask off. It doesn't kill you. It just zaps you like Princess Leia, and all of a sudden you're in a cell. You know, and you're going to, Darth Vader comes in to give you the shot, to give you the truth serum, and all of a sudden they're going to blow up your planet. I mean, yeah, that's insane. I'm just saying.
That's great. My thing I wanted to ask, though, is at Disney Springs, do they try to keep people, like, going in one direction when walking?
Or is most it still everywhere? Most places, no. Most places, I mean, it's pretty wide open, so people just kind of walk wherever. In the spots that were a little tighter, so spots where maybe they were doing construction is where I noticed it, or on bridges, things like that. They did have arrows indicating, walk this way, you know, you only go this way, only go that way. But for the most part, it was very free-flowing,
But did you notice, like, people bumping into each other or anything like that?
I mean, for the most part, people were kind of still adhering to the, you know, walk on the right, walk on the left, you know, like they were, even though there weren't markers on the ground, you know, that's still kind of how things go generally in life.
Right.
Most people were still adhering to that.
So people were respectful of people there.
For the most part, yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, it was a little, it was a little busier than City Walk, so there were definitely more people around. There were more people that were stopped, you know, doing things, that kind of stuff. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind. But, I mean, you know, for the most part, it seemed like people were very respectful.
Okay, that's good to know. Did you go down towards where they had Lanuba?
Yes, we at City Walk, or City Works. So, yes.
Remember, I call it the poorhouse. But go ahead.
The poorhouse. Yeah, we had the poorhouse. I was right down there. And of course, the Lanuba theater is, of course, shut down and shuttered and everything like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the new show obviously did not get to debut. No, there's no indication of when that show will be opening at this point. Yeah.
Okay. So. I think it's actually pretty soon, to be honest.
I guess it will depend because, you know, I mean, the performers all have to be probably pretty close to each other. I'm sure that they'll probably make sure that they take their temperatures beforehand and stuff like that. And I guess maybe there'll be a way to socially distance the theater. But I haven't heard anything about the show coming back or, you know, debuting anytime soon. Other things that were closed included...
Yeah, I think the deal with the 50, I mean, this is just my personal opinion. Disney hasn't talked to me yet, but I think The 50th is about the 17th rung on Disney's chain of command
at
right now.
Point,
I think this is kind of thrown out at this point. They're not worried about opening things for the 50th. I think they're just trying to get people in safely and get some revenue flowing again. And then if they have to push the 50th back to 2022, they're going to be fine with that.
Absolutely, I mean, or the very end of 2021, you know, just to get that actual date. Because it is, you know, October, so you might as well get the actual date and then go. But other things that were closed
to Disney... I figured with that, to be honest.
Yeah. Other things that were closed to Disney Springs... I'm sorry, what, Alfred?
I didn't think it was going to be earlier in 21. I really thought it was going to be from the actual date. Forward into 22.
Well, too, real quick, before you give us the other things, I will say, you know, for like things like theater where performances are on a tight stage, it's kind of like sports. And my daughter is a grad assistant for Mizzou basketball. And so they're getting, they have their staff meetings via Zoom all the time. And, she, you know, I get to hear like what the procedures are going to be. And it's, I mean, it's serious for people that are going to be, because like, you know, athletes, performers all on a stage together. I mean, they have to quarantine. When they get back to Mizzou, they got to quarantine for 10 days. They got to get daily COVID testing. I mean, it's this thing. Yeah. I don't think Lanuba will be back anytime soon. I think that'd be one of the, when you see that performance, that's when I think we're on the other side of the hump by a long shot. I would guess.
I agree with that. Yeah. So other things that were closed, by the way, included obviously the NBA experience, but you know, that's not a shocker there. Although maybe with the NBA coming, that might reopen. And then Splitsville was also closed. So you can't go bowling. The AMC, of course, was closed too. So no going to see movies. Those were like the major things, I think, that were closed at this point.
Splitsville actually surprises me because bowling in itself, because bowling alleys have been open here in St. Charles for a long time.
True.
Because, I mean, if you don't put like, you know, like a lot of times like two lanes will share the one ball return. I mean, if you put just like one family per two lanes and you just have that one ball
return. I guess they're worried about people touching the balls.
I know.
You bring your disinfectant, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay, let's talk about something other than that.
Let's go.
No more 13
year old boy. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Anyway, but I just think that'd be something. I mean, it's so expensive to bowl there, and it's so spacious too that I can't believe they haven't found a way to at least get that open, because they could. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, they probably, I mean, bowling's super. I mean, maybe it's come from Missouri, but when I found out how much it was for like an hour to run a lane there, I was like, I almost had a heart attack, and it was like a deal. Yes. You know, it was like in the afternoon. But, you know, I think they make the revenue, obviously, on the beers and, you know, the drinks and the food.
And so food.
They
could
sell it, which is good. I like that.
Yeah. I haven't been in there yet, so
it's
I don't know what it's like.
It's cool. It's a neat little place, but it's expensive.
Yes,
it is.
All right, Alfred. We're gonna boogie because we got other people trying to get in. But I'll talk to you Thursday.
Sounds
bye, Alfred.
All right, see you, buddy.
All right, bye.
All right, 407-413-9395. 407-413-9395. So as we wait for our next calls, they're kind of jumping in and out here. News of the day. So we got ADRs opening up for some people. For folks that are checking in before July 11th.
Yes. So if you're going to be there from June 22nd through July 10th, you can make dining reservations. They open up on June 18th. However, you cannot do them online. You have to call the Disney Reservation Center to make them. Or if you're a Disney Vacation Club member, you have to call member services. It's only for resort hotel restaurants. So,
which makes sense because the parks aren't open, you know, if it's before July 10th.
Well, but dining reservations are available for Disney Springs restaurants online. So if you want a Disney Springs restaurant, you can make that online. So yeah, and then obviously they're not open for table service restaurants inside the theme park yet. So, you know, obviously we'll get to that point here soon. But, and then we do have the mobile dine check-in.
I like this idea. This is a great idea.
As well, yeah, I think it's fantastic. So what the mobile dine check-in option is going to be is it's going to be on the My Disney Experience app. You're going to need your phone and you're going to need a dining reservation at one of the select participating restaurants. So when it's time for your check-in to check in for your dining reservation, a push notification is actually going to be sent to your phone. It's going to prompt you to check in to your dining reservation via the app. If you don't receive the push notification, you can use there will be a QR code that you can scan in the lobby of the restaurant. You won't have to stop at the check-in, at the hostess stand, I guess I should say, to check in. You just will automatically be checked in if once you utilize the process. You'll confirm your arrival time and the details of your party, and then when your table's ready, you'll be instructed of where to go in order to be seated. Now, I find it very interesting. They're actually doing this not at the resort hotel restaurants, but they're listing out some of the theme park restaurants that you're going to be able to try this at. So at the Magic Kingdom, it's Be Our Guest, Cinderella's Royal Table, Liberty Tree Tavern, and Skipper Canteen. At Epcot, it'll be Akershus, Beer Garden, Coral Reef, Le Cellier, and Rose and Crown. At Disney's Hollywood Studios, it's 50s Primetime, Hollywood and Vine, Mama Melrose, and Sci-Fi. They don't have any restaurants listed for Disney's Animal Kingdom yet, which I find interesting. At the Boardwalk, it's Flying Fish. And at the resort hotels, there are select ones. It's Boma, Jika, Sanaa, and Toledo. So again, I find this really interesting that they are bringing this out at, going to be at the theme parks. You know, that's where they're going to roll this out at. So I find that to be, I thought they would do it at the resort hotels, test it there, and then, you know, kind of roll it out through the theme parks. But it looks like they're going for it.
The thing about this is, though, you know, I would first of all say on something like this that, you know, they're doing that so that they can have, you know, some data before they expand it out resort wide to every restaurant. Mm-hmm. But I would think with this, I mean, when I heard about it, I'm like, they should have been doing this 5 years. It seems like even like in the COVID world that we're living in, where you're trying to cut down on, you know, person to person interactions, this is just, it's almost an efficiency thing. You know, it's like when you do your mobile order for a quick service restaurant, you know, like it's the same system, you know, like, okay, I order my food. Okay. I'm here. Okay. So put it together. So that notifies them we're in the same place now. And then they shoot me a push notification. Hey, your order is ready. Lane 3, grab it. This is the same thing. Basically, I mean, it's just a little bit different, but I mean, it's an efficiency thing that I hope this sticks. And I don't see where the downfall would be except for, again, you know, and again, this is kind of the what we've been going over the last decade, is that if you are somebody, and there's very few of these people, but there are people that are not as connected, you know, wirelessly. I mean, that the gap is getting larger as to how you can enjoy your vacation without having cellular service. I mean, you got Wi-Fi service, but without having some kind of, you know, Android or iPhone device, you know, iOS device.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, they are definitely leaning more towards making sure that you have those kind of devices to enjoy your vacation. And of course, you'll still probably be able to check in at the you know, host stand. But this is for people who don't, you know, feel comfortable or whatever to be able to do that. And again, it's kind of a nice little perk. I mean, you have your reservation. There's no reason to necessarily stop at a host stand. You know, being able to check in automatically is really nice. I think it's a fantastic idea.
This is the millennial way to check in, because you don't have to talk to anybody.
Absolutely. You don't have to talk to anybody. It's why I love the self-checkout at Target. Exactly. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to deal with anybody. I just want to check out and go. So.
I'm Gen X, and I'm that way most of the time. And also, you know what? If you don't have a phone, what you got to do, you got to do like the guy in Frozen and go, yoo-hoo, yoo-hoo.
Yes, exactly.
When you're there, and then they'll seat you. Go ahead.
Amy mentioned something about no buffets. Actually, there was a buffet listed, and it was Beer Garden.
One of my favorites.
I find that to be very interesting. I wonder if, you know, obviously Beer Garden is sort of unique in the fact that they have those long tables normally. I don't know whether they're going to have the long tables there anymore with the communal tables, or whether they're going to bring out separate tables now. I don't know if it's going to be a buffet, if they're going to go to a, you know, prefixed kind of meal as in, you know, like family style or something like that.
I can't believe Beer Garden's even open, because now that you think about it, like, it's a buffet where you're communally sitting. Like,
I was like, why did you choose Beer Garden as your option? But yeah, that's, I'm just as surprised as you. But again, it's a Disney owned restaurant, so maybe that has something to do with it. So Diane says Akershus has a buffet too, which is correct. It does. So yeah, I mean, but Beer Garden was the one that really got me.
Yeah,
I was like,
seriously.
Tables?
Yeah, totally. I mean, because I love meeting people. Like, I go to Beer Garden on my solo trips just because it's kind of fun to see who you're going to sit with. People are always like, this dude's crazy. He's like a single guy eating a beer garden by himself. He's probably, you know, he said, oh, no, I love it. You know, I get to talk to people. But yeah, you're definitely, you know, I don't know the efficiencies. I guess probably the average group that goes is probably at least three or four. So maybe you could make it work with, like, you have your own table. I don't know. Everything's going to be diminished capacity. That's the whole thing. Absolutely. It's crazy.
This is true. So anyway, I found that again to be very interesting. I think the mobile dine check-in is going to be just a great perk though for Walt Disney World. And I really am interested to see how Disney is going to continue to bring out these new ideas that when they're introduced, you're going to be like, why didn't they do this all along? You know, like this is something that they could have done all along. The metal detector thing, you know, again, that's something that they could have been doing all along. And it's going to be for a very different vacation in a way, but then it's also going to be for like, this is going to make things a whole heck of a lot easier moving forward. And you know, again, I know people hate the 60-day window. I think that's going to make things a lot easier moving forward. I think, you know, whether they change it to 60 or, you know, 75 moving forward so that people can make fast passes 60 days in advance or whatever at that point, I think that it's going to allow people, Disney, to make changes and really make them in a good way. So is that Riley? I love that it's not my dog barking for once. That makes me so happy.
That was my dog. It's Super Riley, who is back from Mizzou, but headed back to Columbia soon. Yeah, she just wanted...
Got it.
She likes, you know, she's kind of like me. She likes to be on the show every once in a while, so I apologize for that. 100%,
yeah. But so, no, like I was saying, like, I think it's going to be really cool to see how Disney's going to change moving forward. And I think they're going to change in ways that are going to be so helpful and make the vacation that much better. And, you know, they're really going to allow this is really going to allow Disney to innovate again and start over from scratch with a lot of things that maybe, like I've said before, aren't working. Fast Pass doesn't work necessarily completely. I want to see them rehaul it, you know, like, I think this allows them to start with a clean slate. And I, for one, am very happy about that. I know a lot of people aren't, but I'm super happy to see them be able to rethink things and retool things.
Well, if it doesn't work, you can always go back to the old systems. I mean, if it's a terrible flop, I mean, it's like you're throwing it totally out. And another thing, we talked about this, I'm not kidding, at least 6 or 7 years. This is good news about having a podcast we've been doing for 12 years.
Yeah.
Every week, nonstop. So we've thrown some stuff and it should have stuck on the wall. A lot of the things have happened, but the one thing that it's time, and it's been time for the last 8 years, they need to build wireless charging into the table service and counter service restaurant tables, because everybody needs their phones. And I know maybe it's I don't know if it'd make your phone funky because everybody be sitting their phones on it as they work, but you sanitize between people just like when you sanitize the table, and all of a sudden you got a little pad to sit your phone here. Everybody gets a little juice while you're getting a little nourishment, and everybody's your phone's happy and you're happy. When your phone's happy and you're happy, everybody's happy.
100%, because we are just so, even more so with all this, we are so reliant on our devices while we're down there. I mean, look, with the mobile dine check-in, again, that's another way we're going to be reliant on the device. You need to have the ability to charge your phones easier without making guests bring, you know, multiple chargers with them or whatever, because I can tell you, my phone dies, you know, while I'm down there quickly. I mean, I have one of the best phones out there at this point for an iPhone, and it still dies, you know, I mean, it does better than it used to, obviously, but it's still, with how many pictures I'm taking and video and checking the app and, you know, all of this, like, it still goes quick. So it would be really nice to have
I just got to tell you, and because you probably know, but all of our listeners, if you are ever low on juice, my phone will never die. My phone will never die because I'm a freak about that. I bring like 3 or 4 extra. When I go through security, it's like, oh man, he looks like some kind of crazy person.
Well, see, soon you won't have to have that problem because they're not going to be checking.
Because I bring that big 20,000 milliamp battery.
Sorry, now
your
barking.
Dog's barking.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
The thing is, I bring that 20,000 milliamp battery, which is huge, which can power a MacBook Air. It can charge that twice. It can recharge my cell phone 7 times. And I bring smaller ones just so I don't have to bust that one out. So I have, like, you know, two to give out to the girls. I am a walking power plant. So if you ever are out of juice and you're at Walt Disney, you see me, just come on. I'll be like, oh, yeah, I'll hook you up. You know, I'm like the power guy. So, you know, yeah, I have cords and batteries. And that's not going to happen. But I just think for the average guest, because I don't know if it's like I'm a freak about that stuff, but like my girls will roll, they will leave the hotel room with like 35% charge. I'm like, how do you even do that? Like, we're on the bus and they're at like 32%. I'm like, I would be freaking out right now. Like, if I'm below 95% but when I go into the park, there's no way. I don't know. Those kind of people scare me. I don't know how they do it.
And also, I mean, obviously there are people who are not like us and who don't know that you need, you know, all that kind of juice. And so they're not coming prepared. They're not bringing the charger with them because they don't, on an average day, you don't know that you need something like that in general for a, you know, random people who come to the park. Say they don't know that they need that kind of power and that the power is, you know, their phone is going to die that quickly. So, I mean, again, like, it would be so smart for Disney to just put power pads on tables, things like that, and just go. That would be so much easier.
It would be if they did that, and they're so cheap. You can buy, I mean, of course, they probably need industrial strength ones, but like, I buy those wireless charging pads because I have them around the house. They're like $6 on Amazon. You know what I mean?
At the very, very least, put plugs by all the tables. I mean, at the very least.
That's dangerous. But just,
I know that's dangerous, but I'm just saying, if you need to do something, like, if you don't want to put the pads down there, at least put plugs so that people can plug in their phone. Like, yeah. I'm just saying, I don't understand. I don't get it.
Can I get some juice on my table?
Yes.
And I'm not talking OJ.
No.
That's how it's going to be. All right, well, you know, I think that's a good place to wrap it up here. But, you know, I'm glad you got to go down because firsthand knowledge is the best hand. And you got to see how it was. And
I already have my next trip planned. I mean, I have it in my head. I think I know I'm going to go. I just have to make sure that everything's going to work out. And it will be in July. So, and it will be after the parks open. So I'm planning on heading down, not the weekend the parks open or the weekend after, but it might be the weekend after that. So I might be celebrating my birthday in Disney. That's kind of the plan right now, just to, you know, to get back down there and actually celebrate my birthday weekend in Disney. So that's the goal right now. We'll see how it works. So.
And I'm going to try to survive.
I'll have more firsthand knowledge, you know, moving forward. So.
And I'm going to try to survive Branson, Missouri here in about a week. We'll see how that goes. Pam Tillis, man. That's what I heard.
Yes,
right?
Go see Pam Tillis. You probably won't be able to see her, but, you know, whatever.
Mel Tillis. He was the guy that stuttered, I think.
Mel Tillis. Yeah. Well, that's her dad. You know that's her dad, right?
Oh, yeah. I know that Branson, though, is kind of like a mecca of, like golf, go-karts and putt-putt, right? It's still, I mean, I know the lake
sure.
is, but they have that stuff, right? Come on, I got to do something.
Sure, you can do that. Yeah.
All right, so it'll be fun. Yeah. All right, we're going to duck out of here. Thank you so much for spending some of your Friday with us here on the show. Don't forget, you can always follow the podcast on Instagram and Twitter at BRGuestMike and at BRGuestPod. And, of course, Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Today's show is sponsored by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. So when it comes time for your next Disney adventure, work with the great professionals over at the Magic for Less. Their services are absolutely free to you. They are a platinum earmarked agency, which means they are the best of the best, and they are going to work very, very hard to make sure that next trip, even if it's a little bit different, is still very magical, that you know the expectations. You are in the best position to have the best time possible with your friends and family. So check them out today. Support the show by booking that next trip with the Magic for Less. .com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and every purchase helps support the show. So please bookmark it and use it often, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, if you want some of the craziness, like we do polls every day. We do Ask Mike Anything. So that's a different kind of AMA. We have a new podcast, mini podcast, little bitty podcast. For our patrons, it's called Mike in the Midwest. It's crazy stories of growing up in the center of our country with a crazy family and doing the stuff we do here that a lot of folks on the two coasts are like, what? But yeah, I mean, we're going to talk about summer memories, I think, this week is what we're talking about. We're going to talk about cutting the grass with my buddy Ryan, making flyers on print shop on the Commodore 64 and going around and we finally got a riding lawnmower from his grandpa. And then the first time we took it out, my buddy Ryan really didn't know how to drive it yet, but we thought we were going to be millionaires because we could cut so many yards with this rider. He jumps off the riding lawnmower. He doesn't realize that it still goes when you jump off it. The riding lawnmower continues, runs into this old lady's garage door. It's an aluminum garage door. The riding lawnmower goes up like and like flips over onto its back, crushes the garage door. We're only charging $7 a yard at this point. We had to pay for the garage door. It was such a mess. So yeah, stories like that of my insane childhood, Mike in the Midwest on Patreon. So just visit patreon.com/BRGuestPodcast if you want to get in on that. It's crazy stuff, but it's totally not necessary. But it's something to listen to on your runs or while you're cutting the grass yourself. And you're like, oh, I'm glad I didn't do that stupid stuff. I can tell you, yeah, make you feel better about your childhood is what it's going to do. So anyway, we're going to get out of here. Thank you so much for your support of the show. I hope you have a great weekend. For Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a very fun and safe weekend. Stay healthy, stay good, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.